Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Nordstrom brings you the season's most wanted brands. Skims, Mango, Free People, and Princess Polly, all under $100. From trending sneakers to beauty must-haves, we've curated the styles you'll wear on repeat this spring. Free shipping, free returns, and in-store pickup make it easier than ever. Shop now in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
This has been a heck of a journey for us.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I've never seen a draft journey than the one of Shedeur Sanders.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bring on Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. The number of kids that just got drafted at the quarterback position, they're going to start a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible to see Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel start a game.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. How is everybody doing here on the Rich Eisen Show? That's a rhetorical question. You have to answer that, guys.
Oh, we could.
No, it's all right. We do have 3 hours to fill. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on this program. We've got a lot to talk about. I know our show open just said Howie Roseman, the GM of the moment from Philadelphia, is joining us on this show, but he's going to join us at a later date, not today. It's all good in his hood, all good in our hood. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, and we'll get him on a future show, just not today, as they'd say on Game of Thrones. Let's talk about who we do have on this program. We do have Daniel Jeremiah, who I hung out with in Green Bay, an insane amount of time, but we can't quit each other. So, we're going to be talking about the NFL draft, Brokeback Draft, later on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
What?
Well, we can't quit each other. That's what's coming up. And Tom Pelissero is joining us in hour number three. Normally he joins us on a Friday, but the NFL news is popping now. George Kittle just signed a big 4-year $70+ million contract, not too shabby for George Kittle this late in his career, obviously. Still lots more Hall of Fame football to be played. And he will be joining us, Tom Pelissero, in hour number three to talk about all of that. And then in hour number two, why did the Steelers do what they did in the draft? And were they thinking at all about Shedeur Sanders? What was going down in that draft room? Does that have anything to do with the firm belief that everyone has that Aaron Rodgers is going to come off the beach here in Malibu and go to the Steel City at some point in the near future? Jerry Dulac will join us post-draft. We had a lot of questions for him pre-draft. He's going to join us post-draft to discuss all of that. There's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Already see phone lines lit, obviously. Speaking of lit, we'll talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers offense.
Jeez, right?
And the Warriors and Rockets playing against one another. There's an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. There's the Overreaction Monday pod. There's the No Contest Wrestling pod. Ooh. It's all out there for you to
get it.
Check out wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel. How are you over there, Christopher? Good to see you. What's
Rich, I am delightful. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Thank you for asking. You know what? Not too great. I mean, no. It would be great if I turned this into a gripe session.
You could be. I mean, look, I'm sure you're exhausted. You've done a lot of talking in the last four or five days.
It's all what we would call first-class problems. How are you, Mike Del Tufo?
I'm great, good to Rich. See you over there. Good morning. There. How are you doing?
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Candles lit.
Are you asking me how I'm doing?
Well, I know the Mets scored. How many runs did they score yesterday?
Like 19-30. I don't know.
Actually, I think they scored one fewer run than the number of wins they have. Major League leading wins right now.
Let me tell you something. I don't know how long this is going to last, so I am going to celebrate having the best team in baseball.
Well, you've won, I think, what, two out of three, which ain't bad.
Mets are killing it, man.
In Major League baseball.
First again.
It's kind of funny, you know, how hitting 300 is Hall of Fame stuff. When you're when you're hitting 667, as they are on the winning total, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it only backs up whose town it is in New York.
Yeah. Right? I mean, so that's so they told no lies, folks. He told no lies.
All right. That's down. Wonderful. So apparently Shedeur Sanders making his way to Cleveland today. We're going to ask this question of Daniel Jeremiah shortly. We asked it of Albert Breer yesterday. I'm now going to throw it open to the group. We're going to make this a call right now. We're going to make our call right here.
What do we got, Rich?
Because every year, remember last year, there were six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks.
Correct.
This year, there were six quarterbacks taken in the first 144 picks. Bigger range.
Yep.
So last year, in the first 12 picks, we're like, how many are you starting this year? And Caleb Williams is starting. Jaden Daniels is starting. At the time of the draft, everyone's wondering, Drake May's going to have to sit, right?
He's going to start at some point, just not right away.
We figured that, right?
Right.
Michael Penix, that was the question. Is like, if he starts, what a major problem it would be for Atlanta.
Correct.
Because the guy that they just signed to a massive contract would either be hurt or ineffective, and it turned out ineffective. Or maybe still hurt.
And hurt, yeah. Right? It's kind of both.
Yeah.
And then J.J. McCarthy. We'll have to see the quarterback competition against Sam Darnold that never materialized because McCarthy got hurt.
Yep.
And then the question of Bo Nix would be, if he doesn't start, that's a problem. Because who else is there in Denver? And sure enough, he starts week one and would have been the offensive rookie of the year if it wasn't for Jaden Daniels, right?
I think so, yeah.
This year, there's only one guy who's starting. For sure. Out of this box. It's Cam Ward. And then the general sense is the next guy to definitely start a game, for sure, it's Tyler Shuck, the 25-year-old out of Louisville who has 4 degrees in college because he's played for 19 teams already.
He's 38 years old.
By the way, I believe the first number is accurate. The second number is not. The number of degrees that he has, apparently, from all the different schools. God bless him that he would actually go to class at these places and get a degree.
His dog ended up being a star of the draft.
Oh, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Monty, I think was his dog's name, I think. I don't forget.
Great. He jumped all in the mix, as he should.
And after that, if you put up the list of the number of quarterbacks that got drafted in the NFL draft, the grand total is, let me get this right.
13.
13.
Yeah.
13. And the quarterback needy teams all got in. Giants, Saints, Browns, Steelers, Raiders. They all got in. And everyone else just took flyers. Flyers like McCord to the Eagles and Riley Leonard to the Colts. I mean, you're giving a little bit of red meat to potentially part of your fan base by taking the national champion runner-up quarterback out of Notre Dame up the road. I mean, the Texans took a flyer on Graham Mertz of Florida. I want to talk about flyers. I mean, if you told Raiders fans, hey, you're coming out of this draft with Montana State's and North Dakota State's quarterbacks and Tommy Mellott and, or is it Mellott? My apologies to Montana State. Cam Miller. You want to take a flyer, Curtis Rourke of Indiana. And if you don't know his story, just like anyone else from Indiana, just Google him.
Put up some numbers this year.
Quinn Ewers, unbelievably. You want to talk about quarterback journeys. We're all focused on how long Shedeur Sanders waited. Quinn Ewers.
I still don't get this one.
Went to 231 overall.
I don't get it.
And he looked positively miserable when he initially put the Dolphins cap on. And you know what? I don't blame him for thinking that in the moment. He waited a long ass time all the way to round 7. And I'm sure he was doing the math in his head of all the millions he could have had if he stayed in college one more year, even though I'm sure Texas was telling him there's the portal. But the portal could have netted him millions and a shot to be higher than 231 in next year's draft, one would think. You know, a healthier campaign for him would have wound up with a figuratively healthier result. That said, He's going to a spot where we all know the quarterback's best ability is not sometimes being available. And then the backup is Zach Wilson. And you got Mike McDaniel having the quarterback room, and he shows up there. Your head coach is showing up there. There are some teams in the NFL where the head coach does not show up in the quarterback room as much as Mike McDaniel does. So I'm sure at the end of the day, Quinn Ewers is going to go to Miami and attack each day, to use the Michigan man phrase. But the question of how many are going to start this year, I need a number from all you. And you, happy to have be you at 844-204-RICH, or you, Chris, and you, TJ. Mm-hmm. And Mike, I'll even give you a shot.
Hey, right hey. Thank you, Rich.
What do you think?
The thing is what we know about the league in the last few years is that a lot of guys start at least one game, 60-plus guys in the last few years.
A lot of turnover.
So just the odds tell me that a good number of these guys are going to start games. Obviously, we know Cam Ward's going to start a game.
Right.
I think we can glean that Tyler Shuck is going to be a week one starter.
Week one starter, again, where you're hitting, and if I'll jump in here, that there's different categories of starting quarterback or quarterbacks coming out of a draft. There's week one starters, you know that.
Yes.
Okay. Then there are starters who are drafted high enough that they're going to get a shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Drake May, perfect example last year. Okay.
Absolutely.
And then you have guys who are going to be the backups because either they're A, not ready yet, or B, drafted too low to be considered the starting quarterback. Okay. And then there's people who are going to be buried on the depth chart that a complete disaster has to happen. Like the Miami Dolphins a couple years ago, the San Francisco 49ers, where they had to turn to Brock Purdy.
Right.
Like, honestly, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. If we showed this graphic of drafted quarterbacks coming out of his draft on our show, coming out of that draft, we would never have considered Brock Purdy as a starting quarterback.
No, absolutely not.
And that's why I would also say to Quinn Ewers, hang in there. One never knows. On this day, we're talking about George Kittle hitting it. That's going to be a fraction of Brock Purdy's eventual salary. Jackson Dart starting this year. There's two veterans in front of him right now. I don't see it.
Oh, I think you're totally off there. I think he definitely starts this year.
You think he definitely starts this year?
Yeah, because Russell Wilson is gonna probably start week one, even though I think they should just go with Dart. But Russell Wilson's going to start. He's going to do the Russell Wilson thing. You saw the way he ended last year. He's not going to start like he did with Pittsburgh. The Giants just aren't that good or ready to win, right? So say he's 2-4, 2-5, something like that. It'll be time to see what Dart has. They're not going to go to Jameis. Jameis is in case of emergency, and Tommy Cutlets probably won't even make the team.
The emergency could be needing to win football games to save jobs. That's number one. Number two, I don't know, who was the one who mentioned it yesterday? Was it Breer talking about Jackson Dart on John Gruden's quarterback show, and his cadence is basically him double clapping.
Yeah, literally just clapping.
And Gruden was like, basically, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That's your cadence. Your cadence is double clapping. So there's lots to learn there. It would have to be end of the season. We have to show some sign of life so we can have proof of life with our jobs here.
I think drafting a quarterback and trading up for one kind of buys them an extra year or two. I think when you look at Seattle, Sam Darnold's only started every game in a year one time in his career.
Yeah, so but Drew Lock's next.
So the odds say that, there's going to be a Milroe package, and once you see how special and dynamic this kid is, he's going to end up starting a game, I feel like.
I don't think so.
One of the Browns guys is going to start because look who they have there. Joe Flacco's 40, and let's be honest, there's only been one good 40-year-old quarterback in the history of the NFL, so I would imagine one of the kids will start. McCord is not going to start. I imagine Will Howard will start multiple games. And then Riley Leonard, probably not. And then the rest of the guys, probably not.
Dude, Will Howard starting multiple games. On what planet Earth does he start multiple games? Rodgers doesn't come back.
He's literally the best quarterback on the Steelers roster right now.
Come on, Chris.
You don't think he's better than Mason Rudolph?
I do not think he is ready for NFL action in a way that Mason Rudolph would be in week one. That's correct.
Okay.
That is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. I think that if Rodgers doesn't show...
Dude just won the national championship.
I think if Rodgers doesn't show, I think they're going to have to figure out how to get Kirk Cousins, or they're going to have to figure out who else is going to get cut from an NFL roster.
That's it.
The Steelers are really backed in a corner here, man.
That ain't happening.
He ain't coming back. I got five that I think.
Give me your five.
Right off the bat, of course, Cam. I do think Kyle McCord will end up starting again.
So he unseats Tanner McKee and Hurts gets hurt.
I don't even think Hurts gets hurt. I think it's one of those things where the Eagles are so good that
week 16, week 17, 16, week 18, we're giving him a blow.
So, I mean, I know we could put an asterisk by that, but he's still, I believe, going to end up starting a game.
Okay.
Quinn Ewers. Gosh. I feel like.
Jeez, all right. At you guys.
Look, Tua sometimes gets hurt. I'm not wishing that on him, but if you're going to ask me, I can see maybe him getting a start. And Tyler Shaw, he said
I think
that.
I think he's a week one starter for this team.
And again, I'm with Brockman. I think Shador has to be better than the other quarterbacks on that roster, in my opinion. So...
Well, Dylan Gabriel was a Heisman finalist.
He was, but...
Shador's going to have to make this team.
He's going to have to make the team, but I'm just saying, I believe if he makes the team, he will end up starting a game.
I mean...
That's why I didn't want to quantify it. I just think one of those rookies will start.
Okay, so put up the list on the board, and I'll give you my two cents on the subject matter. Cam Ward is a week one starter, and I'll even throw Tyler Shuck out there. I just don't think they're going to...
We saw what they have in Rattler. Well, right?
They have something in Rattler, and Rattler is going to compete for it. And you know Kellen Moore is not going to just hand it to Tyler Shuck. He's going to have to earn it.
True.
And I just don't think Derek Carr is walking through that door. So I don't think Jalen Milroe is going to start this year. I don't think McCord's going to start this year. I don't think Will Howard starts this year. I don't think anybody from... McCord on down starts this year, wow. Unless, my God, there is something wildly up.
Remember, Zach Wilson is also there in Miami.
I'm not throwing that out there. Yeah. Pop it back up again. So I will go Ward, Shuck. Gosh, man, making a call now. I'll have to say one of the Browns guys does it, and if I have to call it, I'll say Shador. Obviously, I'm going to back my play of the last few weeks that. Last few days that he's been way overlooked. Dart, I just don't see it. If they have those two vets, but I'll still throw it out there that by the end of the year, he will. Yeah. So Ward, Dart, Shuck, and one of the Browns, four.
Wow.
That's what I'll say. What do you say? 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Daniel Jeremiah, what does he say? Jerry Dulac, what does he say about Will Howard and the Steelers? And Tom Pelissero in hour three. It's NBA playoff time, people. Trust me, if you've never been, you gotta go. The minute you walk into the arena, you can cut the tension with a knife. The fans are hyped. The rivalries are intense. You're part of history when you go to one of these games. Let Game Time get you to an NBA playoff game right here and right now. The Game Time app. It's awesome. It makes saving so much easier. You can save up to 60% when you buy last minute for an NBA playoff game because maybe you want to go at the last second. And you could do the same thing by saving at last minute prices with concerts, comedy, theater. You can also get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy. And before you buy, the all-in pricing feature shows you your entire total up front, so there's not a single surprise for you with a fee. At checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN. You get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart. But it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, lots to get to, so let's hit it right now. Spent a ton of time with him on the draft. He's awesome, and he's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ladies and gentlemen, move the sticks himself, Daniel Jeremiah. Good to see you, DJ. Yes. How are you?
It's good to see you, buddy. I think the Razor's in retirement for a few weeks here, so excuse this.
It's all good. Yeah. You could still pitch for the Yankees. It's fine.
At least another week.
So let's jump into it. We're now a couple days removed. Your lasting impression of the draft is what? What is it?
I think you might even have coined the phrase when we were kind of in the run up to this thing, was like, we have had no trades. Everybody holds their own first round pick. And is this kind of the calm before the storm? And, you know, man, it happens so fast. It's hard with as many people that are focused on this event and as many people are in buildings that you could have a trade, which sounds like the trade with Jacksonville had been done for like a couple weeks. So for that to not get out was pretty remarkable. And then that kind of just set us off. And it was kind of like that little jolt of caffeine we needed just to kind of get going there.
Okay. So which teams draft, now that you're a couple days removed and the dust has settled, do you like? Which one?
Well, I always look at it and try and see, like, which quarterback would wake up and be the happiest, you know, after the draft. And, we talked about it on the air. To me, Drake May, based off of what he played with last year and what he's going to get to play with this next season in terms of all the upgrades, and it started with Will Campbell in a position they had to address at left tackle. He's going to be a big upgrade over what they were playing with last year. You go out and get a running back. You go out and get a receiver. Like, they did a lot of things, I think, that'll really help him. I mean, Travion Henderson, not only catching the ball out of the backfield, but we discussed it, his ability in pass protection. You got a leaky offensive line. He can clean up a lot of those messes. So I love those guys on the offensive side of the ball. Jared Wilson, the most athletic center in the draft. And then you just go through all these names. I mean, Craig Woodson, to me, is a starting caliber safety they got in the fourth round. Joshua Farmer had some injury concerns. That's why he was at one point in time in my top 50, and they got him at pick 137. So Swenson can rush. Like, I went through all their guys, and I'm like, man, they a lot of these guys, we're going to look back 3 years from now and we go, oh my gosh, they got, you know, four or five key players on that team as they try and turn it around New England.
Man, you're that high on it, huh? I know you were talking about it in real time. But
I loved it.
Really? Yeah. And they also got 11 guys. Obviously, you know, not everyone makes it, but if you are taking over a team that has a lot of holes, that's one way to start plugging it. That's
no
for
question.
Sure.
Yeah, it's exciting. And this is, you know, I'm excited to kind of take a step back over the next week and really dig into it and study it. But last year, Rich, we spent so much time talking about those six quarterbacks. And man, what was done in this offseason with free agency and the draft, and you got to feel pressure if you're those GMs of knowing this is this window, man. We don't have to. We got a really talented quarterback that we don't pay a lot of money. Like, let's load up as fast as we can and see how fast and how quickly we can get this thing up and running. The Bears had a great draft as well. You know, I love what they did to continue to just throw a ton of weapons around Caleb. So I'm excited. I was excited about those quarterbacks last year, and now I'm even more excited about them this year because they all got some key pieces to help them out.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just said that you look at a draft saying which quarterback is happiest, meaning which current already in the NFL quarterback is happy. Which quarterback that got drafted do you think is happiest? Is it Cam Ward when it comes down to it?
I think so, because I think Cam Ward's probably the one guy who's walking into a starting quarterback position. You know, I think the rest of these guys are going to have to wait their turn, and we'll see how it all turns out for them. But I'll give you two names. I would say Cam Ward at the very front end, and then I would even say Will Howard, you know, going in the sixth round, I believe, is where he ended up going. Yes. To the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, that's a, you know, that's a good opportunity for him, you know, and we'll see what happens if Aaron Rodgers comes on board or what, you know, what have you with that whole situation, whether it's Mason Rudolph or if it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you would say either one of those is going to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, 2-3 years from now. So there's tremendous opportunity for him. And also, it's kind of a hometown team. So I know he's probably disappointed he didn't go much higher than that, but I mean, that would have been the team I would have chosen for him in terms of where he fit best.
So let's linger on Cam Ward a little bit, because as soon as he got drafted, as you know, we were all looking at each other because he's walking down the hallway out of the green room to the stage. And we all got the message in our ears, Jacksonville's now on the clock. So, you know, our conversation about Cam Ward was maybe shorter than what it ordinarily would have been if there wasn't a massive trade for a massively talented, much talked about player and the draft being acquired at the time. You look at what Tennessee has put together, right, and already has there, and adding Tyler Lockett and adding more pieces in the draft and doing what they've done. What's the expectation level? Level set it for me for Cam Ward and Tennessee. DJ.
Yeah, well, first of all, Rich, we talked about him for 10 minutes before the pick, because there was no mystery in who was going to be the pick. So, correct. I mean, we went through and showed his highlights. I remember us, Charles and I, having the discussion about Steve McNair and some of the skills that he had that were reminiscent of the great former quarterback of the Titans. So I feel like we had a good chat on him. Now, we had to pivot once that trade went in. But I like the fact that they've tried to make this a little more friendly with some of the veteran offensive linemen that they added. Now, I think they might have overpaid a little bit on Dan Moore, but it was an upgrade. They got better there. And then Zeitler comes in there. So that's a big, strong, sturdy guy that you can plug in. And then now you go into the draft and give him some other pieces to help him out. I think he's ready to go, Rich. I think you can get him on the field week one. I think he makes them competitive. I still think the roster is a little bit leaky and there's a lot more homework to do there. But one of the things I learned about him in talking to the folks at Miami was he is one of those guys who's never had a bad day. When you know, they could lose three games in a row next year in Tennessee, they said he'll be smiling in the building. He'll be able to lift everybody up. You know, one of the other nuggets was, like, every time their team turned the ball over, I think it was 13 times, right after that, they had 7 touchdowns on the next drive and 3 field goals. So just a little microcosm example of somebody who's equipped to handle adversity. And you don't go from Incarnate Word to the first overall pick without being able to overcome some obstacles. So I'm excited for them. I wouldn't expect that this is a team that's going to be over 500 or be a playoff team this next year because of some of the roster limitations. But I think when you watch those matchups inside that division, talent-wise, he's going to be able to go throw for throw with C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence, all those guys.
Before I go grab bag on you, the number, I'll have you call your shot here, and I'll give you the same out I gave Breer yesterday when I asked him. If you're right, we'll mention it. If you're wrong, this conversation never happened.
Flush it. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
We'll flush it.
It's my favorite type of conversation here.
We'll bury the tape. So the number of rookie quarterbacks from this class who will start in the upcoming season, give me that number. Looking at the screen here, of all the drafted quarterbacks, from Cam down to yours, what do you think?
Yep, I'm going to say we get Cam is going to start, so there's one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Tyler Shuck's going to start some games. That'll be two. which, by the way, almost kind of like even slips my mind about the Tyler Shuck one and the opportunity that he walked into. So he'll start some games. So there, that gives you two. I'll say Milrow, no. Dylan Gabriel, no. I'll say Shador is a maybe as you go all the way down through there. So I'm going to put it at 2.5.
2.5, and that's the line. You take the under?
I'll take the over because weird things happen. You know, one of these teams is going to get wiped out with injuries, and you're going to see one of these random guys start. It happens every year.
Well, so you choose Shador over Dylan as the possible for Cleveland. Yeah. So how do you see Shador going from here? What's your sense of that scenario, Daniel?
Yeah, I think it's all in front of him. I mean, we kind of laid it out on the coverage where it makes a lot of sense. You know, for Joe Flacco and his experience level, he doesn't need a ton of work here in these mini camps. And so to me, I think you give a lot of opportunity to the young guys, those three guys, Kenny Pickett included. And then just kind of see who emerges out of that pile. You know, it would be hard for me to say that I expect that Gabriel's going to, you know, outperform Shador just because I had such a higher grade on Shador than I did on Gabriel. I know Gabriel's going to compete his butt off and he's going to know everything inside and out. He's going to be ready to go. But I think throw for throw, I think Shador, you know, should win that battle. But he's got to come in ready to go and ready to compete. You know, see what happens there. I think to me that you've got two of those three guys make the team between Pickett and then you get the two rookies, Gabriel and Shador. I think those three guys are competing for two spots, in my opinion.
So and that's the first item up for bids on this sort of omnibus round of. Asking you, Daniel Jeremiah, now that we're a couple days removed from the draft and you've been talking to your colleagues in the NFL and the scouting world, general managers, coaches, and things of that nature, what generally people are saying about the draft that you're willing to share, what is the thought as to why Shador dropped to 144th overall? Daniel.
Well, this is, you know, partly my opinion, you know, and then combined with talking to some other people.
Sure.
And this was the takeaway that I had, Rich. You know, there's a reason why you have agents, and there's a reason why people go to these facilities and prepare for the combine. They're not just going there to prepare to put their hand down and properly run a three-cone drill. They're preparing them for how to present themselves in front of teams and how to, you know, handle these situations. And it just sounds to me and talking to people that process wasn't handled well on Shador's part. So that to me would have been an easy fix if you had hired an agent who would maybe just guide him through that process a little bit better. So, you know, there was, and I haven't confirmed this, but there was people saying that, you know, he was locked in on those teams picking in the top seven and wasn't giving as much time or attention to some of those other teams through the process. So they didn't have as full of a workup on him as they would have liked to feel comfortable with him. So those are some of the takeaways there. But I think at the end of the day, I had talked to a lot of people around the league that it was like, okay, and these weren't decision makers. These were people inside personnel departments that were a little bit below that level that were kind of baffled of like, golly, that's enough's enough. Like, how is he still there at some point in time? I don't care what you know, if he turned you off or what have you, but the ability level is so much greater than the people that, you know, we're picking from right now. How is he not going? So that was kind of all kind of wrapped up into one big ball there.
What's the industry take on the first trade of the draft? The Browns trading out of the Travis Hunter spot to collect a pick next year and others in Green Bay, while Jacksonville being aggressive to get the Otani, to use even an Andrew Berry analogy, in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, well, first of all, everybody said Andrew should not have used that analogy if you weren't going to pick the player.
That's right.
That was the first bit of news.
Okay.
But I can tell you this, all the Cleveland Browns fans in my life and in your life, you know, they did not love it. And I would say almost universally everybody in the NFL did love it from the Browns standpoint in terms of what they were able to recoup. Everybody in the NFL thought that they did the right thing and they got the value that they needed for that pick. And they all love him as a player. They love Hunter as a player, but thought that was a haul that you have a hard time turning down, that they thought that Jacksonville overpaid. That's inside the league. That was
really
the opinion.
Because Jacksonville's fourth round pick improved by 20 some odd spots, and the sixth round pick improved as well. And if you cough up a one and a two and you get the top receiver in the top corner in the draft, you might you might not have gotten the top receiver, a top corner in the draft, the second round pick. You know, I know next year's first is next year's first, but there's also a halo effect of this.
Well, I would say though, Rich, there is, and we'll see how this all happens, but I have not talked to one person, not one, that believes that Travis Hunter will be able to play every snap on offense and defense at the pro level like he did at the college level. There is not a belief that he'll be able to do that. So that's why it was a major minor situation. He's going to major on offense and then sprinkle in on defense. So I am so fascinated by this because we've never seen it. So we're going to find out, is that truly possible? But I can tell you there is a great appreciation for his talent as a player, and I could not find one person, Rich, and I'm talking 15 to 20 people that I've talked to that believe he will be a full-time two-way player in the NFL.
Man, there's going to be a lot of egg on people's faces.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm fascinated to watch it.
Wow. But in terms of the Cleveland draft, I was saying this yesterday, that if you hermetically sealed a Browns fan at 6 Eastern Thursday, and then let them out of that room at 6 Eastern on Saturday and handed them a piece of paper of just the names of the people that they drafted without the
in
draft
whatever
choice
order.
Next, right, without any draft choice number next to their name, and say, these are the seven people the Browns got. Oh, and they got a one next year. I think Browns fans would be ecstatic, right?
Those first four picks are four starters, in my opinion. Mason Graham, Schlesinger. You can make a case Mason Graham as the best defensive tackle in the draft. Schlesinger, to me, is in that mix as the top linebacker. He was second for me. Quinshon Judkins, I don't think it would surprise anybody if he ended up being the best running back in this class. He's in that group of four guys who are very equally graded. Fannin could end up being one of the top two or three tight ends in this draft, who's, you know, definitely a starter. And then you're like, okay, Dylan Sampson's going to have a role. He's going to touch the ball. He was up there for me. I think I had him in the like early third round or even late second round range. So they got him in the fourth round. And if Gabriel or Shador end up starting or giving you snaps at quarterback, we're talking about an epic haul. And they've got an extra first round pick next year on top of that. So yeah, that's why the people inside the league, they liked what Cleveland did.
And lastly, about asking what people around the league are talking about, Daniel, let's talk about the prank call. Lose for everybody, right? The fact that it happened, the fact that we found out who did it, the fact that we found out who did it and how they got the phone number. You know, I've never met Jeff Ulbrich, but he's highly respected and well-liked in this league. And it's just a disaster on every front. And I'm wondering what you heard and what people are saying about it. Daniel Jeremiah, I give you the floor.
Well, yeah, I mean, And I don't know if these were all with him, with Coach Ulbrich's son, but I mean, I was told about a couple other, you know, Tyler Warren happened to him.
McCord.
I was told McCord. I was also told it happened to Riley Leonard. It wasn't just a one off. But again, I don't know where these calls, if they were all from the same situation, right, Rich. But in talking to people, I've heard there were other guys that had to deal with this nonsense. It's just, I don't know. The whole thing's just—it's just gross.
Well, what's
you know?
The fix? Like, what's the fix, DJ? Because well, there's got
to
be
the, here's
one, right?
The, here's the fix. Like to me, because I know they had released something and said that Coach Ulbrich wouldn't be punished. And in my opinion, I don't think it should be Coach Ulbrich that should be punished. I think the Atlanta Falcons should be punished, and that creates a whole accountability over the entire organization of, hey, we have to keep these information, these phone numbers under better control, and let's send the message to an entire organization, because it all trickled through that organization, funneled through one coach's son. But I would send a message that way and say, if anybody from an organization has an issue like this, the entire organization is going to be punished. It's like when you're a kid, Rich, and the one kid's late to practice and you put the whole team on the line to run. And then that creates more awareness and more accountability within the entire group. That's what I would do.
Well, Kara Henderson Sneed, who you know, I know, she's got brilliant ideas on everything. I say this over and over and over again. She tweeted out FaceTime.
That's a great call.
Like FaceTime. Now, you know, there might be issues of hearing, right? When you FaceTime somebody and you don't have the pods in and there's draft rooms or loud or whatever, but at least you see, well, oh, that's Dan Campbell. You know, oh, that is Mickey Loomis. You know what I
mean? That's an easy solve. I'd never even thought about that. It makes a ton of sense. 100%.
You know?
Like, gosh, that doesn't look like Jerry Jones.
Well, you know what I mean? Like that would be a way to handle all of it. That unless you get a FaceTime, it's just not real. That's one way to say it. But I understand you're saying, you know, that you got to hold someone accountable. And, you know, how would the Falcons know that the coach leaves an iPad in his own house? It's his own house. Yeah. That's the thing that's so, mind blowing. And I'm sure for Albrecht, just gutting. You know what I mean? That it involves his son. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody's been young and dumb and done something stupid. So like, that's why to me, it's just whatever you have to do to just get this message out to everybody. And let's not let something like this happen again. And when anybody, you got to let everybody know that that has any access to any of your information, this stuff can't happen. You know, like Rich, I'll give you an example. My son in Rylan was with us all week long. He's 21 years old and he helped us on the draft.
Sweet well,
he's
kid, gonna, man.
He's thank you. He's You're sitting welcome. Off to the side and he has the pick line, you know, so he can hear the picks coming in way before you or I ever find out what's going on until they announce it. And so he's a good kid. He's a smart kid. But trust me, I went out of my way to tell him, hey, you cannot text anybody, call anybody, or let anybody know anything. You are non-communicado on that set because you have information that cannot go anywhere. And just to double down, I know he's smart enough to know that you can't do that. But you also go out of your way to tell him like this can't happen because this information can't go anywhere. So it's just those conversations have to take place around the league. And maybe Kara's right. Let's just do the freaking FaceTime and not worry about it.
Before I let you go, I know this is kind of unfair, but whatever. There's 257 picks. The one that you say was the steal of the draft, Daniel Jeremiah. I need to know. You say this is the steal. It could be a first rounder. I'll tap dance a little longer for you to think about it. Second night. I'll give it to you. Day three. What is it?
If you're just, I'm looking at it. Just we said it at the time. I had Jahad Campbell fall into the Philadelphia Eagles in the 32nd pick. He was my 12th player. And it just continues to happen every year. They get a value in some way that just kind of lands in their lap. And I think not only is he a good player, going to a great defense and he'll fit in there, who is the one team that they're going to be battling for the next decade inside that division? It's Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. And he's like a Jaden Daniels type defender. Now, it didn't go great when he saw Jaden Daniels when he was at Alabama and LSU torched him, that year before. But I mean, I'm just fascinated to watch what these divisions are shaping up and what that battle is going to be, and watching one team try and build up players. The Washington goes out and gets offensive linemen because they know they got to block Philly. Mm-hmm. Philly goes out and gets these athletic second level defenders because they know they're going to have to chase Jaden Daniels around all the time. So that might be the rivalry more than any other in the NFL that I can't wait to watch over the next decade.
Yeah. And the Giants loaded up with Abdul Carter on that defensive line, you know, so everyone's kind of, I mean, that was kind of a no-brainer, but people are looking at the way that the Chiefs just got beat. Let's just load up. Let's just load up. You know, the Bills got five defenders with their first five picks, and then Brandon Bean's going on, blowtorch in the place when he shows up on the radio. I'm sure you heard that in Western.
No, I haven't. I missed that. Yeah, what did he do?
He got on and he told everybody because they, you know, some Bills fans were.
They want a wideout.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So you know the beats. You just didn't know what happened. Brandon Bean got on the radio and he's just like, everyone, we scored the most points in the league last year. And everybody thought we wouldn't do that without Stephon Diggs. So we went on defense. And, you know, how can you argue with that sort of stuff? One would think he got testy. Check that one out. Okay. And then I guess while we're being completely unfair, my last one for you, and we'll bury it if you're wrong. Yeah. The number one overall pick in the 2026 draft. First name we hear in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I just asked that. I think this is a new tradition. I'm going to ask you this on our post-draft debrief every year on this show. Take your best shot. Man. The number one overall pick in Pittsburgh, the first name we hear is going to be who? DJ.
Oh, this is going to be the best cop-out ever. I'm going to say Jeremiah Smith challenges the eligibility rules and comes right out, and then he's the first overall pick.
And it's a wideout. It's a wide receiver. He goes the old
Maurice Claret.
Route. I mean, hey, there's precedence with the Ohio State.
No, I just wish, really? I wish, no, but I wish everybody could just get together and just be like, hey, I know we have rules, we have precedent, but this guy's too good for college football. Like, what are we doing? Just let him go play. He's ready. Just let that guy go play in the NFL already.
Daniel, appreciate the 2 cents. I'll take the cop out. I'll let you go. And man, you're awesome. Love hanging with you. We had a great week. And everyone at NFL Network, it's just an awesome team, right? Like front to back, truck to set, everything. Mm-hmm. We're so lucky. We are lucky.
Well, I'm very grateful for you. And last thing, because I was just talking about my son earlier, and he getting the chance to hang out with us, not only when we're doing the shows, but then in the evenings when we go up and we all hang out together and talk.
Yeah.
And he goes, Dad, he goes, what you guys do with you and Rich and Charles and Joel is like just what me and my buddies do in college, just sitting around talking about football. And I was like, you know what? That's like the greatest compliment that we could ever get for what we do.
It sure is, especially since it youngs us up by 3 decades, all of us. And I'll take it. I'll take it. Thanks, DJ. You're the best.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. It's Daniel Jeremiah. Everybody check out Move the Sticks pod, obviously, after the draft, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Love this guy, man. What he just said about Travis Hunter and what the league thinks about his ability to play every snap, both ways, got to hit that.
Chefs, 24 culinary showdowns for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock. All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing, Sunday night at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
Pro baller Lonzo Ball for Buzz Balls. Ready to go cocktails. Take 12.
Buzz Balls just dropped their biggest blue balls.
Script says biggies blue balls, Lonzo. Take 13.
Blue Balls just dropped their biggest buzz balls.
Let's try a vocal exercise.
Buzz Balls, biggies, blue balls. Buzz Balls, biggies, blue balls.
Big balls just dropped. Get blue balls this season with Buzz Balls.
Please drink responsibly. Buzz Balls available in spirit, wine, and malt. 15% alcohol by volume. Buzz Balls, LLC, Carrollton, Texas.
I love doing this segment so much. I love it so much. And we haven't done it so long. I've got 5 residual checks. It's time for Residual Rich. Hit it. Yes. Hit it.
Pay that man his money.
All right, Mike Del Tufo, because I promised for you to give a number of starting quarterbacks from the rookie class this year. All right, so there's 5 envelopes, so you're going to use 5. Number 5?
Not 5, yeah.
Okay, here.
5.
Okay. Here you go. Whoa. Envelope number 5 from the good folks of the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA has opened up, and it is from... That's my boy.
Oh.
Yeah, I did a voiceover. If you listen to the end of That's My Boy when Tubby Took wins a race.
A marathon, I think.
A marathon, right? You can hear me do the call.
That's true.
Man, and this is for the Sandler film, a ton of internet rentals, and there's like 7 different markets all rolled into one check. Chris Brockman. I don't know when That's My Boy was, but... this check is from that. Close about going over, as if this music does not indicate those rules. Chris?
Shout out to the great state of city of Boston. Let's go
$6.17. $6.17 for Christopher. Mike Del Tufo.
$10.
$10 flat. The man who still has his parting gift ping pong table all boxed up from his appearance 3 years ago in his house, TJ Jefferson. Or as it says on your... Temujin.
Yes. I'm going to go with $11.12.
Oh, see, that's not right.
Why? It's just Price is Right rules. It's cutthroat, man. Actual retail check is
$10.50.
$13.23. TJ Jefferson is the winner.
That was
well done.
Wow.
Do I have time to sneak one more in?
Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah.
Envelope 1 through 4. Christopher?
2.
2. Envelope 2.
For Alex Bregman.
Envelope 2. For Breggy. This is for his kid. This is for his kid. Breggy's kid, everybody.
kid.
The Odd Couple. 3 different episodes.
Odd Couple.
In Trouble, Make Room for Danny, and Secret Agent Man. 3 different episodes of The Odd Couple from 2020.
This is recent.
May my friend Matthew Perry rest in peace. Christopher, what do you have?
Shout out Syracuse, New York. $3.15.
Mike Del Tufo.
$55.
Dollars? Wow. TJ Jefferson.
What are you doing, Mike?
$5.50.
550. Sadly, you all lose. You're all over.
Oh.
The actual retail check is $1.95.
For three?
For three episodes.
I-95.
I-95. You guys are way off.
It's over. It's right.
That's God, great. I love doing this. That's and I got great. Three more.
We
all much fun.
What's my prize?
Your prize.
One set.
Your prize. Said. Unbox your ping pong table, man.
Do what with it? There's no room.
Bring it in here. Actually, you said I'm going to sell it. Then sell it.
That may warp.
It's an offense to me that you won't bring it in here and make it part of our world.
I'm trying to get some extra coin.
It could warp.
Extra coin.
Because it's wood. You got to like open that up in the box.
Yeah. Tell him, Mike, about warped wood. Yeah. You know all Mike, about warped wood.
You're the water. You're the water. I'm telling
him. They ain't getting water damage, Joe.
No, but it's like the air, the sea air.
Yeah, the air.
Yeah, the sea air.
The air gets in the box.
You know, the air.
How that happens?
What's in the box?
Exactly.
What's in the box?
All right. Great fun residual, Rich, everybody. That was a blast. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We have a new reason to root for the Jacksonville Jaguars if you're looking for one. Okay, you can come up with many different reasons.
Mm-hmm. But this
one. But here's a new one. This is a new one. It's a new one. Daniel Jeremiah just said he has spoken to 15 to 20 people in the NFL world. He cannot find a single individual associated with the NFL scouting community, evaluation community, coaching community. He talks to everybody. Can't find a single one who feels Jacksonville's acquisition of Travis Hunter was worth it to the point where Travis Hunter will play every snap on both sides of the football, or predominantly on both sides of the football. He will have to major in one, minor in another, have a splash of plays on one, fully commit to the other. Can't think of how whatever he did at the collegiate level can be repeated at the professional level. And for anybody who thinks that is horse hockey, to use an old school MASH phrase, you got to root for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got to root for this kid. You got to root for this kid to say the way you view the National Football League is over. I am a game changer. I am a unicorn, and I am coming to Duval. And showing up on both sides of the football, and I'm playing every snap until I tap the top of my helmet and say I am not.
It's impossible.
Writing your own script, writing your own narrative, and I hope Jacksonville lets him do it.
I don't know, Chris. I don't think it's possible.
Let's go. Come on. I'm rooting for the Jacksonville Jaguars for that alone.
Here's the thing about unicorns. They're not real.
Oh, come on.
And so I think it would be incredible for him to try to do it.
Tell that to your boy.
They're not real?
I question.
I thought they were real.
Come on, everybody. Let's go.
I'll never say unicorns aren't real. In all seriousness,
I tell my kids all the time, there's nothing you can't do. You will tell that to your child
as
well.
I know, but inherently we're lying to them.
Yeah, you have to be feasible.
I understand.
You have to be realistic.
If you put your mind to it, I didn't think I would have the career I had. I was hoping. I dreamt like I would have the career that I had.
Of course.
But you got to work hard. You got to try for it. And you nothing's handed to you. Everything's earned. All of that stuff that we tell our children.
That's true.
I'm telling this to Travis Hunter. And I don't think he needs to be told that.
But 120 plays a game, man. Like
in the highest level of football.
In the NFL. We always say all the time, could Alabama beat the 0-16 Lions?
Yeah.
They would lose by 30.
It's always
why? Because it's different. It's tougher. It's a man's game.
It's the best.
I think it would be awesome for him to try for the first couple years in his league while he still has the kind of energy and the gumption.
Sleep when you're retired.
But it's just.
It's going to cut short his career. Yeah.
Even wide receivers don't play 100% of the snaps in the
game. I get it. I hear you. Let's go.
And they're just playing
Who
wide receiver.
Who says no? Who says no?
I think
some of the best two-way players in the history of the NFL.
What's the general manager's name? I think he says no.
James Gladstone says yes. He traded up. He gave up a first round pick for that. I will love to have nobody talk about the draft compensation anymore because it is so obvious. Let's go.
This guy,
let's go, Jacksonville.
This guy, Kelvin Gemstone, I think he says no.
Let's go.
Is he part of the righteous?
Let's
you know what I mean?
Go. Let's go. He's a young buck. He can do it. He showed you he can do it at the collegiate level.
Again, I think
I know it's not a grown-ass man league very in different. The Big 12 as it is in the NFL. Yeah. Let's go and prove you can do it. If there's 15 to 20 people in the NFL right after this draft saying, Browns were absolutely right. They got a one. They got a two. They got a first round next year. Yeah, their fourth and sixth were lower, but who cares? They got the players that they wanted. They got a one in their back pocket. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, what do they have? A kid that can't play both ways that everybody says that they're going to try. Good luck.
Physically, he probably can do it just from a terms of physical. But mentally, the NFL is so different from college.
He's cut a different way. Let's
physically,
go.
It's the same thing. Imagine this third down, right? You run a slant. You get spine busted by Derwin James. Now you're going to get up and immediately go play.
Defense.
Derwin James just planted you in the dirt.
You're not getting up. Let me just finish up by saying this. Jacksonville, we will be robbed if you don't let him do it. Robbed. Let's go.
Duval.
Dead straight. Duval.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.